Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors. Ever seen an angel? I don't mean the sexy modern Christmas queens in fur-lined Santa robes that they try to sell as tree toppers. And I don't mean those naked, chunky cherubs that, but for a couple of pigeon wings, might be on a Pampers commercial. I mean the kind from the book of Genesis, flaming sword, 8 feet tall, dazzling in brilliance like the midday glare off of polished chrome. Or better yet, one of those crazy part animal, part man creatures with three sets of wings and a zillion eyes like you find in Ezekiel. Or Elijah, or one of those guys. Sadly, the shepherds outside of Bethlehem didn't exactly have the technology to get a quick selfie and post it on Facebook. Click, holy smokes, heavenly hosts, send. But we do know how they felt. Afraid. Scared out of their wits. I actually prefer the original Greek phrase that they used to try to sum it all up in the word terrified. The phrase is, they feared a great fear. Not a little fear. Not a little timidity and trepidation. Not a minor worry about something not going the way you planned. Not a childhood boogeyman under the bed level of discomfort. Outright terror. So how weird must it have been to hear the words of the angel, fear not? The logical disconnect must have boggled their minds. The cognitive dissonance between their eyes and what they saw and their ears, what they heard, must have been enormous. Fear not? Really? This high-flying guy in the sky could take me out. This heavenly enforcer must be out to bring the hard justice of a righteous God. But I thought the Lord might get the serious criminals before getting an ordinary sinner like me. But wait, did I hear that right? Good news? Great joy? Rescue? Favor? Peace? Oh, that word peace. So elusive nowadays. The UN Security Council votes unanimously to bring a plan for peace to bear in Syria, but no details about the sticky questions of what to do about Assad. Baltimore is still stewing over the hung jury in the first trial of one of those police officers being tried for the death of a young man who died under their custody. And if that isn't close enough to home, how about the daycare in Moxham recently that had to be evacuated because of a bomb threat, threatening little kids? Peace? We long for peace, but we find ourselves trembling with fear. Fear for the future. Fear about how the family's going to make it through another Christmas without Dad having one of his usual beer blow-ups. Fears about some self-radicalized extremist in Pittsburgh having the bright idea to head to Shanksville in some sort of symbolic assault on the memory of the Flight 93 victims. Fears over the political polarization that has led to years of stalemate and deepening entrenchment of mistrust disguised as principle. Fears about the decline of the church and its positive influence on the culture at large. But fear is no way to live. When the capability to trust, to relax, to enjoy freedom diminishes, we surround ourselves in straitjackets of deep anxiety and put up psychological bars that imprison our souls in the attempt to protect our hearts. In fact, people who live in prolonged states of fear have a statistically higher rate of cancer than those who live in relative prosperity and ease of life. As St. Paul once wrote, "Who will save me from this body of death?" Peace. The angels proclaimed tidings of peace instead of smiting certain shepherds abiding in the fields. And that peace is connected to a newborn baby found in a barn, resting comfortably in a feeding trough. Jesus is the King who brings us peace. And it's a peace that's given by the sheer benevolent whim of a loving God. It tickled our Heavenly Father so much to simply bless us instead of punishing us. And so the angels called it favor. Now, much is made of this word favor. Some Christians interpret it to mean that God willy-nilly picks some to be favored, while others, too bad for you. Some Christians see implicitly in that word favor something that we need to earn, to achieve, to work up to. But in reality, it's simply another way of describing God's grace. His freely given, undeserved, unplanned, unearned gift of himself and his goodness. But now that this peace has been freely given, the question remains, what do we do with it? Well, the old Roman playwright Plautus once wrote, "That man is worthless who knows how to receive a favor, but not how to return one." Now, I don't want you to conjure up images of the Godfather. Angels are not making an offer you can't refuse. Accept God's peace or else God's doing you a favor. But there is a truth to Plautus' statement. And that truth, when applied to what the angels announce, describes the reality that God doesn't give us good gifts that don't bear some responsibility on our part to take care of in order to enjoy fully. The Lord of heaven and earth came down and took on human flesh that we might become genuine participants with God in the good that he is doing, not to let us skate by on cheap grace. So, if we allow God to quell our fears, if we embrace forgiveness and mercy instead of holding out for some well-deserved justice, if we let our hearts and minds be kept by means of the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding, then we have a responsibility to share that peace with others. Close your eyes for a moment. Picture yourself with the shepherds having just arrived in those crowded streets of the city of David. Go with them to that barn. Standing with them before Joseph and Mary this evening, the Lord invites us to leave our earthly anxieties, leaving them in the dust of that old stable in Bethlehem, in order to hold Jesus in your arms. Pick him up. Come, let yourself adore him. And as you hold him, release every fear, every doubt, every worry, every concern. Name each one as it falls to the earth beneath your feet. You need to let them go in order to keep hold of that precious, helpless babe. And then you look into his eyes to discover here is Jesus himself, your great high priest, your King of Kings, your firstborn older brother through the Spirit. And now look, he is holding you, enveloping you with his love, washing over you as that calm assurance that he will never leave you nor forsake you. And now look, he is pointing stretching out his nail-pierced hands to someone you know who is hurting, alone, afraid, desperate. Someone who has given up. He wants you to embrace them. Whose name is on Jesus' lips as he calls for you to reach out your hands in love, just as he did for you? Open your eyes now. Think about this moment. The peace of God begins when we let go of our fears to embrace Jesus. And that divine peace spreads as we let Jesus point us to others with whom we can share that same peace. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts and let it flow from your heart to others. I invite you to commit once again this evening, this Christmas Eve, to be an instrument of his peace. As I prayerfully offer this song.